Live from the Geyer Studio, where combatants battle for the glory of cinema. This is Cinema Wars with your host DJ Ace, only here on WMCO. Welcome to a new season of Cinema Wars. I'm your host DJ Ace, and the carnage is back for more action as we debate and argue about all things cinema, and it's going to be glorious. Of course, the end goal of this semester is to crown the new Cinema Warrior, and we will see how that goes in 14 weeks or so. So we got some old meat and new meat all coming fresh for the grinder this semester, and it's going to be so much fun, right? Okay. So once again, I'm your host, DJ Ace, and I have three contestants here to talk about what was their favorite movie from 2016. That is the movie that came out in the year 2016, otherwise known as last year. So here they are. We have Andrew.
How's it going?
Joe.
That was an amazing introduction.
Thank you. And Johnny.
Greetings.
All right, so we're going to get their choices down. Andrew, what did you pick?
I picked this indie film called Hell or High Water.
All right. Joe, what'd you pick?
All right. Tough decision for me, but in the end, I went with Hacksaw Ridge.
And Johnny?
I had to go with Deadpool.
Ooh.
Okay, now this is going to be tough. This is going to be interesting.
Dun, dun, dun. Plot thickens.
She picked a good one.
The good one out of five.
Picked that movie and said his name is like going to come and appear in this episode of Cinema Wars now. I'm kidding.
Can we get someone who can do that voice?
That would be amazing.
Or like Ryan Reynolds, if you want to like come do voicers for us, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, I know. I have his number, you know. Just call him. I'm just awesome. Kidding.
You'd be the one.
I don't at all. All right, those are the choices. So we are going to jump right into the thick of things. That's the part where you start arguing.
Get it?
Well, I really honestly don't know much about your movie, Joe. On the other hand, Deadpool is something I am very familiar with. So I've watched it a couple times. But my movie, Hell or High Water, is basically your basic movie about two cops and two robbers. But the heroes of the story are the robbers. And it's a slow building movie, but it reaches such a dramatic and finish that you can't help but want to be like, oh God, who do you want to root for? Do you want to root for the bad guys or the good guys? And you also kind of conflict who's the bad guy in the story, because you want. The cops are your normal cops, but you show sympathy for the robbers, and you want to hope they get the job done on their front. Anyone could stop me at any point. And it kind of relates to how movie is where it's kind of relatable to. It's almost set up like it's in present day time. And the movie looks like it's set in Texas, even though it's not. They do try to reference it a lot. I mean, the officers they keep calling themselves Rangers, and half the people in the movie are always wearing cowboy hats.
Okay. All right. For mine, if you don't know about it, Hacksaw Ridge, directed by Mel Gibson. It's about the World War II Army medic Desmond Doss, who saved 75 people in the Okinawa during World War II. It's a war movie. I'm a big war movie kind of guy. But when I saw the trailers for this, I was really excited to see it because it had a lot of like buzz around it. Andrew Garfield plays Desmond Doss. He's one of his best performances ever. He did such an amazing job. Came out after the movie was over, I was blown away. The cinematography was amazing. The performances by all the actors and actresses in that movie was just truly incredible. The movie was so lifelike. It was like all the action scenes and the war scenes. It just felt like real, like you were watching it in like real time. That's how good it was. And and now, since it's award season, just in case we didn't know, it just got nominated for 3 Golden Globes and will most likely be nominated for some Oscars. So my movie has a lot of award buzz around it. So does mine. That's pretty cool.
So does
yours,
mine.
Yours too. That's Hell and High Water. That's the Chris Pine movie.
Yes, it is.
Oh, yeah. Now I know what you're talking
about. Yeah, the Chris Pine movie. Yeah. But that's got a lot. That had a lot of buzz around it too. But yeah, that's my pitch for Hacksaw Ridge. Great movie. Great director. Great acting. Great war movie.
Yeah.
It's just amazing all around. Great movie.
Why I would have to say Deadpool at least fits in this category of in the running.
You mean the Golden Globe nominations?
No, of the actual topic of best movies of 2016.
Okay, explain.
Is because overall it is such a smart film. The fact that Deadpool himself is so meta, like the fact that the film doesn't take itself too seriously, it acknowledges that it's a film. Deadpool's like talking to the audience, and it pulls this off a way that's believable. And like. Just so many of the comments, like, what, couldn't you have afforded another X-Men for the studio? The fact that there's real-world things thrown into it, like Hugh Jackman. It's just overall a very smart film, which you might not expect for being a superhero movie and a rated R movie.
Mm-hmm.
And overall, it is the highest-grossing rated R movie of all time.
That's true.
Sadly, Deadpool falls into the the stereotypical movie trope of where I don't want to talk about my issues. Although you could have saved half the movie plot if he just went up to her his girlfriend at any point and talked to her. That's all he could have done. She would not have gotten kidnapped. Deadpool could have tried other methods. Not go on this revenge scheme against the whole thing, but it's kind of that's not to discredit what the movie brought to the table, but it's movies like that always has these simple logics that makes you feel like if you take a step back and look at it that way, it kind of damages the movie, but for my movie it doesn't look like that. I mean, the robbers are two guys that are brothers. One's a normal guy, but the other guy is a convicted guy who just got out of jail for robbing banks, and when the younger brother asks the older brother, hey, can you help me out? I'm robbing some banks. The whole basis of the movie is like they're getting back at the banks that they're robbing because they're trying to sell off their land they live on, and that's currently being owned by the younger brother's kids. I'm kind of confusing everyone here, I bet.
I do have something to say about your argument, though. It is a good argument, but the thing is, because Deadpool was so smart in the fact that it did this because it knows it's using stupid tropes. It, like, realizes, yeah, we're doing stupid, stereotypical stuff. Like... They didn't mention it, but you have to understand the character type. The character type wanted revenge and to look normal first, which is so, like, stupid in context. Which you have to understand the context of the movie.
He talked to his best friend.
Yeah, because he's like, I love this girl. I need to be perfect for this girl. So it takes a little bit of the love aspect from that. So it's making fun of romance movies that the guy thinks, I'll have to be perfect to get the girl. It's making fun of that in that context.
And they use great marketing to that effect.
Yes, they did.
That and... The movie overall, I forgot what I was going to say, but I forgot what I was going to say.
Well, I think we all can agree on Ryan Reynolds is Deadpool.
Yes.
He did such an amazing job
and
in that movie.
And not the mess up pre-pull from X-Men Origins.
And for, you got...
And also, another thing to point out is like the main bad guy in the movie, He gets beat up at the very beginning by Deadpool in a few minutes, and then the final battle is set up to be so epic. But for some reason, you're wondering, like, why doesn't Deadpool just beat him up again like he did at the very beginning?
Because he caught him by surprise. He caught him by surprise when he got him on the motorcycle because he wasn't expecting to be dropped on by this guy in a red suit to come shooting out him and
drop
his men.
He didn't drop in on a motorcycle. He dropped in on
a car. He literally dropped in on a car.
But through his ceiling.
If a guy falls from a bridge behind you, are you like, yes, I'm totally prepared to be fighting and take a fighting stance if a guy is going to fall from the sky behind you?
If he's busy fighting the guys in the car, you would think he would notice and go, oh, better get my gun ready, and which he was.
Well, but he doesn't technically know it's Deadpool at that point, because you can't read people's minds.
You guys have, two movies have great stories. Mine has the best story.
You like blood and violence. We get it.
No. This is a deeper, more emotional story. This is about a man who grew up with an abusive and drunk father.
Same.
That beat his mom. Almost killed his brother when he was a child.
The older brother killed his father.
Nope.
In mine.
Okay. You didn't see my movie. I thought it was. That's no. But all right. So he grows up, he made a promise that he would never kill someone.
Mm-hmm.
Never would touch a gun, never would kill someone, because he almost killed his father one day when he was on one of his drunk rape rampages. So he makes a vow that he will never kill.
Contradicts himself if he ends up going to the war.
I'm still going.
So his younger brother, as he got older, he joins the army. His father, who was an army veteran, and had a lot of depression, you know, that type of stuff, was not too happy about it. So, again, they get older, so he decides to join the war, falls in love with a woman before he heads off, gets married, and so he goes off to camp, and when they're doing all the training, they go to the guns. You know, you gotta learn how to fire a gun. He stands, and he says, "Sorry, sir, I cannot touch a gun. It's against my religion." I think it was either Protestant or a Christian religion at the time, but his religion, you know, very serious about that. So he's like, "Sorry, sir, I can't touch a gun." Then all this, is he allowed to be in the army now? A lot of serious issues, you know, army had to get involved. It's like, you have to touch a gun or you can't be in the army. He's like, all I want to do is be a medic, because he wants to save people's lives. So all that ensued. He gets beaten up by, you know, most of his army brethren at the time, because they were upset, you know, that, why is this guy not going to touch a gun when he's probably not going to defend us and protect us? You know, we don't want him out there.
Yeah, so, that is a good question.
So all that happens, but you see at near the end, the guys, you know, learn to trust them. And again, when they
Despite not touching a gun.
Yeah, when he gets to the battle at Okinawa, he's the medic. So they give him permission. All right, you can go into battle, but you're not allowed to carry a gun. So they go into the battle of Okinawa. A lot of bloodshed goes on in that. He saves lives. He rescues a lot of injured men during that time. Then after the battle was over, he stayed behind. After the battle was over and the enemy was still there at the time, and he goes on and saves 75 of his own soldiers without killing someone, without touching a weapon. He saves all 75. Just think about that. 75 men, you know, were kept alive because of this one guy who said, I can't touch a gun, but I'm going to save my brothers, save my men that, you know, that fought.
My movie has that brother relationship, too. I mean, the older brother who came out as a convict, he said he just wanted to help out his brother, give him and his family a better life, even though he's the younger brother's divorced and the kid. But the kids own the land. Help pay for the mortgage. They don't. There's a bit. The cops are also entertaining. The bad guy. The cops who are also supposed to play as the bad guys are entertaining as well. One is like played by Jeff Bridges, who's got a few weeks to retire. He doesn't die, but good. It does feel like at one point he does.
But not at the same level. Saving 75 guys from death.
There was actually one scene at the very climactic where there was a shootout, where and his partner was half Indian, half Mexican, and they go back and forth talking to each other. It also feels like they're good brothers.
At the end, my guy becomes war hero.
Yeah, you just
is it real though?
Try to one up each other.
I really want to know. Is it a true story?
It is a true story. It is.
Trying to one up me, huh?
World War II veteran Desmond Doss.
Mm-hmm.
True story.
All right. Well, we are going to resume this conversation. We're going to have a quick break here on Cinema Wars, and then we will decide a winner right here on WMCO.
Stay up to date with Orbit Media by checking out orbitmediaonline.com. You can find current news, the WMCO program schedule, and current events. Orbit Media is also on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter to deliver you behind-the-scenes facts, news, music, DJ's favorite music, and more. The news doesn't stop, and neither do we. We have what it takes to be unstoppable.
There's a threat targeting America. Lyme disease. Spread by tiny ticks, this dangerous disease can cause life-changing health problems and is now more widespread than West Nile, tuberculosis, and HIV/AIDS combined. So it's time for us to target Lyme disease. That means checking for ticks when you've been outside and seeing a doctor if you experience the warning signs, which can include joint pain and flu-like symptoms. Learn how you can target Lyme disease at targetlyme.org.
Eclectic Radio is here on WNCO with your favorite faculty and staff DJs every Sunday from 6 to 8 in the evenings, with a different DJ bringing their own mix of their favorite songs each week. It is the show where anything can happen. That's Eclectic Radio right here on 90.7 The Orbit. Cinema Wars rages on here on WMCO 90.7 with your host, DJ Ace.
And welcome back to Cinema Wars here on WMCO. We are talking what is the best movie of 2016, and we have Andrew, Joe, and Johnny to discuss that with their various choices.
Hey.
Hi.
Yep, what's up?
How's it going?
And I did a real quick fact check, Johnny. I'm sorry, I had to do it.
Okay. Oh, do we have a fact checker?
I do.
Oh, no. Beware the facts.
That's not
the
Deadpool is the highest grossing rated R movie worldwide, but is not the highest grossing rated R movie in America.
I did not know that.
Wait, wait. Yeah. Oh! Was it Passion of the Christ?
Yeah. You can't outgross Jesus.
Oh, God.
I think on that one I would get a pass.
Who do you feel sorry for in that movie? Jesus or Mel Gibson?
He won a lot of rewards for that.
Yeah.
Big Jesus. So.
There's like a curse associated with that movie.
But yeah, it's...
I forgot about that. I thought it was.
It's worldwide or domestically. Yeah. And domestically is just America.
Oh, anyway. Okay. That's cool.
Anyway, so you guys can have at it. We're talking about Hell or High Water, Hacksaw Ridge, and Deadpool. So pick up wherever you want to.
Well,
all right. Well, good. Have at it, Andrew.
Well, mine is not action-packed from start to finish like yours is, with being in a movie about war. But mine is one is sets up like a slow build. In a slow build movie, it's swing or miss whether or not it can be entertaining, and you learn more. I mean, to start off the movie, you do rob. The guys rob three banks straight. Fourth, at 5 minutes, like 2 or 3 minutes later, It goes into real good detail, developing the characters of Chris Pine and Ben Foster as they talk to each other. One of the best interactions between the guys had was when they stopped by a gas station in the scene. One of them goes in to get gas. And another car, or get a drink. The other guy's just sitting there in his car. And two college teens drive by in their muscle car, didn't like the look the guy in the car was giving him, so he pointed out a gun at him, and he like, "You think you're tough now, huh?" So tries to get out with his gun, but until the younger brother finally comes back and beats the crap out of him right before he could fully get out of the car, and he gets ready to try to beat up the other guy that was in the muscle car. He goes, "Wait, no! He had it coming."
It's
a hilarious interaction with the guys, and they drive away. The older brother goes, hey, this isn't a Dr. Pepper, this is a Mr. Pibb. Only a-holes drink Mr. Pibb.
Your movie, Andrew, would you say that the violence is for the sake of violence, or the violence has an effect?
The violence has an effect. The violence there was kind of like the brothers looking out for each other there.
Yeah, but is it shown to do anything? Like, are there consequences from the violence?
Does it make it the best movie of 2016?
Well, at the end of the movie, the climax is like where the last bank they wanted to rob it in the morning.
Robbery isn't violence, though. I'm asking specifically violence. Does it have a purpose in your film?
Yes. The violence comes when they try to rob the last bank, but there's a lot of people there, and half of them have guns. And they rob the place, but get chased out of town by the civilians and the cops, and there's a shootout. A couple of the important characters die, and you start getting attached to, and it's kind of hard. It's one of those movies where you want to see, you can't decide whether or not you should root for the cops or the burglars in the movie when they have their final showdown.
Then do you think that who you would consider the good guys are good influences?
I'm not 100% on that one.
Do you think you have you can connect those characters in that movie? Good connection.
You could sympathize with where they're coming from. They're being over by the bank, so they rob the very bank and then try to pay off the money with the money they stole.
The mortgage. Because when I was seeing my movie, I was thinking to myself, how can I connect to these characters?
It's relatable to most people in this day and age, because we keep seeing an economy that keeps going down and down for our middle class and these are just an example of people that are suffering from that and doing something about it. To get back at the banks. And they get a check from a casino, so the money they have is not traced back to the banks they stole.
With mine, you can really connect with a lot of characters in this movie. The wife, you can feel like you connect. You can see the pain that she's going through when her husband's away. Not knowing if he's dead or alive, you connect with him and his pain going through training camp and going to the battlefield, not knowing what's going to happen to him, and his brothers and his buddies around them, not knowing if they're gonna be able to see their families. There's a lot of strong connections in that movie, which I really appreciated and really felt, which made the movie more emotional and genuine.
My movie centered around just basically four guys, so it gives you more of a chance to get to know them and relate to them more as they have their back and forth interaction with each other. Having so many characters, it's kind of jumbled up. There's most likely going to be one or two guys in your movie that you might go, "Oh no, he died."
Mine was a whole platoon.
Where you had that expression? You had that exact expression.
You met everyone in his platoon, and you had different stories and different backgrounds that you could connect to or understand in some sort of way, which made it a little more special.
I'm just saying, there's not a lot you can't relate. You can only spend so much time in the span of an hour and a half or 2 hours, whichever how long the movie is.
2.5 hours. But it was worth it.
Whatever. to get to know all the characters in full detail. In the span of just a little bit of time, in the whole movie, we find out that the younger brother is divorced. His mother just died. He's doing all this robbery just for his so they have a good life. After it's done.
Isn't that a similar plot to Mad Money?
That's a good question.
I don't know that one.
Any final comments from the Deadpool corner? You kind of got silent.
I will admit it's not as deep as Hacksaw Ridge, but it's a movie that's not meant to take itself too seriously. Yeah. It's meant to make fun of tropes. It's meant to set things up like this was a dumb decision because this character makes dumb decisions. This character is known for dumb decisions. So in that way, it makes perfect sense why things happen the way they did.
But you can't really relate to anyone would do anything for a loved one. So that's that you can relate a lot to that.
That and it's too, a whole bunch of misfits. Yeah, like everyone feels that way.
Yeah.
And Ryan Reynolds is Deadpool.
Give that man an Oscar.
Point number one.
Yes, we got Leo one. Johnny Depp comes next, and then Ryan Reynolds.
Oh, Johnny, he needs one badly.
For what?
Yes.
I don't know.
He should have got one for What's Eating Gilbert Grape. Leo and Johnny should have got one then.
But Ryan Reynolds was nominated for a Globe. Anyway. But he lost, and then him and Andrew Garfield did their thing.
Yes.
All right. Well, I'm gonna wrap things up here, and honestly, I'm gonna have to give this a clean. We have a clean sweep on this one because I'm gonna have to give the argumentation to Andrew, but I'm also gonna give the creative point to him as well because I did not see that movie coming. So, I applaud Andrew. Silent clap.
Yes.
Silent. Don't clap.
All right, we're going to move to the bonus round. You all get roughly 30 seconds to tell me why you hated this movie from 2017. And we're going to go.
You mean 2016, right?
2016.
Sorry. 2016.
Come on.
And there's some bad ones already. No.
What is wrong with you?
Anyway, so, yeah, 2016, worst movie. And we're going to start with Johnny.
I'm going to go with Suicide Squad.
Ooh.
All right, keep going.
It's simply because, like, you know the movie wasn't spent a lot of time on. They spent 6 weeks writing it. Basically, the only thing they put a lot of thought into were maybe a couple of the cast members and the CG. The rest of it was like, hey, let's just throw some named actors in a circle and put them as characters everyone loves and see what happens. They didn't put too much forethought into it at all.
I will say Will Smith did a fantastic job.
Yes. He's one of the actors I say that they hoped would save it.
But one actor can't carry a whole movie.
Exactly.
Joe, what did you pick?
Me?
Yeah.
Well, it was between two movies, but my parents made me go see this one in the summer. I didn't want to, but I got to go with Gods of Egypt.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, so see, I'm already on the right side.
Yep.
So, guys, saw that one. Yeah, it had Gerard Butler in it. Well, I was pretty because I'm a big Gerard Butler fan, but he didn't really help the movie. The acting was not sharp and on point. It was hard to watch. I kind of wanted to leave during the movie, but you know it was a family thing, so I had to stay. But it was rough. I mean, the graphics were all right, but I mean, just it's a very tough and hard movie to watch.
All right, Andrew, what did you pick?
I picked 50 Shades of Black. Which is basically a spoof movie trying to make fun of 50 Shades of Grey, which sadly most of the jokes felt flat. And when critics came out with about the movie, they said 50 Shades of Grey was more funnier than 50 Shades of Black.
That's saying something.
All right. Well, I'm going to have to ultimately give this one to Joe due to his bad movie going experience. Like, seriously.
It was rough.
I feel you, man. I feel you. I had a bad movie experience, too. So it happens anyway. All right. That wraps up the first round of Cinema Wars here on WMCO. And we will return next week, Friday nights, right here on The Orbit.
The views and opinions expressed on Cinema Wars are not associated with Muskingum University, Orbit Media, WMCO, Orbit TV, and the Black and Magenta. The war is far from over. Tune in next week at 6 and 10 in the evening here on WMCO 90.7 for the next round of Cinema War.